Hey guys, what is up? It's Nico here, and welcome back to week 3 of our college football podcast, which I'm very excited to make another episode for this week's games, and it should be a lot of fun. We've got a lot to talk about this week. A lot of great stuff happened last week, and it's going to be a great slate of games this Saturday, and so yeah. First of all, we're just gonna, as usual, do a review of the games that happened this week, notable things. I'm just gonna go here from the highest ranking, like number 1 to number 25, and then there are a couple unranked games that we should talk about. So, Alabama cruised, obviously, and then Clemson. This was the game I was really impressed by. This was a really good game. Clemson obviously won 28-26, and it was just a huge dogfight, honestly. It was crazy how well Texas A&M played and how they lost that game, I think, against any other team in the country other than Alabama, Georgia, or obviously Clemson. A&M wins that game, obviously, and it's too bad, honestly. It really is too bad for them. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So Georgia, this one was another surprise to me. The other kind of high-ranked team versus a team at the edge of the top 25 game. A big road test for these top three teams, and Georgia made a statement. A lot of people said that this would be a game where Georgia would crush, they would just run over South Carolina. It would be like that statement, those typical SEC afternoon games where a team's supposed to get to play number 1 or number 2 or number 3 at home or something, and then they just get blown out. It starts off decent, and then they just get blown out, just pick sixes and stuff like that. That's basically how this one went. It just felt like SEC afternoon football a lot. So, in other news, Oklahoma, another statement win against UCLA. This Oklahoma team, obviously, we got some tough news later in the week that Rodney Anderson out for the season. Something like a knee or an ACL, I'm not exactly sure what it was. It's just too bad, but I do think this Oklahoma team will just keep on cruising through their schedule. And they will still be a playoff contender. Yeah. Moving down the list a little bit more. Not too much to say here, but Notre Dame did only beat Ball State by 8 points. That was a game I was paying a little bit of attention to because Notre Dame just kept struggling to pull away in this game, and they just never did. So they ended up only winning by 8. But I think the score might have made it seem closer than it was. I mean, Notre Dame had control of the game, obviously, the whole time. I think Ball State scored some points in the fourth quarter, but yeah. This is a game that more people should have paid attention to because honestly, it was a big game, maybe the second biggest game of the week other than the Texas A&M Clemson game. Stanford just steamrolled USC, and they just dominated that game. Bryce Love looked great again, and that scares you. That's got to be scary in the Pac-12. This is going to be amazing when Stanford, I think they travel to Seattle to play Washington, but that is going to be one of the biggest games of the year in the nation. Not just for that conference, but that is going to be on a national stage, and that's going to be one of the biggest games of the year when it comes around. Let me see. That is November 3rd, so that's going to be later in the year when we're going to start talking about these games that are playoff implications, you know. Yeah, so it just is exciting to see Stanford doing well, because it's exciting for the whole Pac-12 landscape to see that we're going to see some big games in the Pac-12 this year, instead of it being lackluster like it has the last few years. The big upset of the week, we haven't really seen any smaller upsets, but the Power 5 game, Arizona State beat Michigan at the very last second, actually, at home, 16-13. It was just a real grudge match. Michigan State appeared to be pulling away in the third quarter, and then I think Arizona State scored a few touchdowns, and then they ended it off by kicking the game-winning field goal. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Another huge win for the Pac-12 conference. I mean, there was a few flops, and there's notable one that I think you guys might know we'll have to talk about. Later in the top 25, not much going on, you know. The only other game I can really think of is Kentucky. They shocked Florida. That was an upset, I guess you could say, but not exactly, in my opinion. I don't think Florida's that great to begin with, to be honest, but still, Kentucky's 2-0, and you just broke your 31-game, I think, losing streak on the road against a team that at the time was in the top 25. Huge win for Kentucky, and once again, another dark horse team emerging in a Power 5 conference. Another 2-0 team that's going to start creeping towards the top 25. There was two unranked games I want to talk about. It was a kind of entertaining week for unranked games, but one of them that I was paying attention to and I was kind of excited to see just because of I knew the environment would be cool was the Nebraska-Colorado game. It was Scott Frost's first game there, and they were doing decent. They kept it close at the end, but then Colorado, LaVisca Chenault, Steven Montez hooked up with him on a touchdown in the final, I want to say, 3 minutes to go. And then there was less than 2 minutes to go. And then Nebraska tried to run down the field, and they had a drive that I think got inside the 30, but a couple last-second throws to the end zone. They didn't have any luck on all of them. So, but they also, their quarterback was injured. He's going to miss this week's game, apparently, but it's nothing serious. He'll be back for the majority of the season. And my next game, this one was a very exciting thing to see because it just sort of gave me nostalgia for some reason of a game that we saw a little bit ago. There was Houston, the Cougars of Houston, beat Arizona State. Well, actually, not hot Arizona State. They obliterated Arizona, actually. Unbelievable. Just shocked to see that. And you know what? It just kind of reminded me of, it's kind of hard to compare because this obviously wasn't a top 25 team. It just reminded me of that game 2 years ago, that Louisville versus Florida State game in Louisville, where Louisville obliterated them. It was a 10 a.m. game, and it was just a lot of excitement around, and it just really kind of proved to be a pusher for Louisville as they ended up having a pretty good season. And I think this might propel Houston into some Group of Five contention, which will be obviously in another section of the show. I think that was a popular section, so we'll definitely bring that up. But just another one to kind of be excited about. It was a good week of college football because a lot of teams became 2-0, and there weren't a ton of teams who fell to 1-1. And it's just interesting. You like to see as many undefeated teams as possible. You know, the more undefeated teams, the more interesting it gets when it's towards the end of the year and there's still a lot of undefeated. teams, you know? Yeah. So, next thing to talk about, obviously this has became a bit of a routine, is the top 25. So, the ins and outs of it were basically South Carolina and Florida. Not a huge surprise. South Carolina, I think, could still be a top 25 team, but, you know, there were teams that deserved to be in instead of them this week after some newcomers to the top 25. Oklahoma State and Arizona State both got into the top 25 deservingly after big wins. Oklahoma State didn't really play anyone great, but they've proven to still be a solid team that's probably going to win at least 9 games. And that 9-win team should definitely be in the top 25 if you're in the Power 5. Unfortunately, that's the case. Michigan State was the biggest dropper, falling to number 25, 10 spots. A little crazy. That Arizona State team might be for real. And it's a road game, obviously. Pac-12 at dark. Those Pac-12 teams are experienced for that. Michigan State never played a game at 10, you know, 8 p.m. before, I don't think. Yeah, that's not too... Michigan State, I don't know about them. It's just like, even if they won both of their early games, it really wouldn't have said much in that they lost one of them. They barely beat another one. Doesn't say much either, because I just really want them to see them play, get like a big test at home against a really good team, like a Michigan game. That'll be interesting to see how they do about that. But another, this week, the Big Ten had a better week, I would definitely say. A lot better week, except for Michigan State, who continues to disappoint, poorly represent their conference. And that's up 25. Also, USC dropped 5 spots. Stanford moved up 1. I think they should have swapped with Notre Dame just because they've had a harder schedule up till now, and I just think it would have been interesting to see them swap spots. Stanford obviously had a much harder test, and they definitely played much better than Notre Dame. I'm gonna say that definitely. Oklahoma and Wisconsin swap spots, another great decision. Last week, Ohio State and Wisconsin swap spots, and now Oklahoma is now number 5. I think that's a great move. You can't put Wisconsin anywhere up there because they never have a tough schedule, and they can't be up there unless they stay undefeated. And there are a lot of undefeated teams right now that interest me a lot more than Wisconsin, because we all know they're just going to go like 11-1 or 12-0 and play in the Big Ten championship game. Yep. Yeah. That's pretty much it for the top 25, and now we're going to start getting into our more interesting segments, not our chalkboard kind of stuff. And now I can't really do the like biggest surprises anymore, because week 1 is when you learn a lot about the teams, and then every week where the season gets farther and you just don't learn as much. So there weren't like as many disappointments, I would say. Some teams that continued their disappointment, but I only really wanted to do a section today for some teams that kind of surprised me and put on a show and just, they caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting them to win big or just play a really good game like they did. First one, obviously Stanford. I knew Stanford's a solid top 15 team, and they have been for the last few years, but they have proved to be, they're going to be a team late November, early December, who will be playing for a spot in the college football playoff, now that we have realized that is the truth at this point for them. Penn State, after just a really sloppy week 1, they made a statement. They said, hey, we're still Penn State, even though we've lost Saquon Barkley. We can still win road games. We're not going to let Pitt creep up on us like Appalachian State didn't. They won 51-6, a road game at Heinz Field, an NFL stadium. That is kind of overlooked for me. I think Penn State, one of the top performers, the most impressive performers of the week. Obviously, Arizona State, you couldn't really learn much after seeing them pretty much handle a UTSA team at home. But Herm Edwards, that win has officially probably, there are some coaches that might already be on the hot seat that were hired last year. I think that Herm Edwards, that win right there, whether Michigan State turns out to be a good team or not, and whether Arizona State ends up having a good season, that secured his job for probably this year. He's not getting fired after this year. We know that for sure now. Obviously, there are a lot of coaches that won't be out after one season, but there are a few who, as of right now, their terrible performances might have them on the hot seat just 2 weeks into their job. That's a little tough. Texas A&M, obviously, they are a top 25 team to me. I'm not too shocked to see that they didn't get in this week because you just can't really move teams up a lot after losing, and they weren't one of the top vote receivers, I don't think. But I think they are the last team left out now, which is perfect because there were other teams that won and deservingly so got into the top 25. I just don't think it's Texas A&M's week, but to keep winning like this, yeah, definitely. Just definitely put them in the top 25. It just wasn't their week. There are other teams that deserve their moment for actually winning games. But Texas A&M really impresses me. Kellen Mond just went off. Honestly, that's a good Texas A&M team. That's a great Texas A&M team. Let me rephrase that. They're going to be top 20 at least. And they are going to be at least a 9-win team. I can definitely say that, even though you have a very tough SEC slate. I definitely think that they will at least win 9 games. I think that win might have ended their chances to get into the college football playoffs unless they win out, which they won't. You don't beat Alabama and LSU in the same year, considering how both of those teams have looked so far. I think they also have to play Auburn, too, so Texas A&M, don't start celebrating yet. You played a great game. It's really too bad that you lost that game. I was rooting for the upset. You always got to root for the upset. Didn't quite go down this week, but I think Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, they have established a culture that just, that's going to be a very good team in the next few years. And I think next year, this is their year to contend for a title. I don't know if they're quite up there yet, but we'll have to see. They gave Clemson a typical road test that Clemson receives every year. Jimbo Fisher did that at Florida State as well. Last year, he took a really banged up, injured team into Clemson, and that game was close to the end. I think Clemson made it a 2-possession game, like late with 3 minutes to go. And then, obviously, 2 years ago, Florida State looked like they were going to win that game, and then Clemson won it at the end. They had a few touchdowns down the stretch that won it for them, and that's pretty much it. That wasn't really how this game went. It was more of a Texas A&M almost completing a crazy comeback to win that game. It wasn't Clemson coming from behind, but still very fun to see a road test like that. And our last top performer is Kentucky, which is really great for them. I think Kentucky has been a more underrated SEC team the last years. They don't deserve they don't get the credit sometimes when they play close games against top teams or even when they win games against the more underrated SEC teams. I'm glad to see them finally succeed. Definitely. Good for them, you know? So, that ends it for the top performers, and now we can kind of transition in, not quite yet, actually, but we are transitioning to our group of five watch, my favorite section of the whole show to cover every week, actually, and, yeah, so that's group of five watch. So, this is really starting to get crazy. This group of five is loaded. After this week, I think there's still six teams competing. Maybe even seven. Let's start. These teams aren't really eliminated, but there are a lot of teams higher than them as of right now. Appalachian State and Fresno State. Fresno State, I think, lost the game at Minnesota at the last second. They went for a trick play in the end zone, and it got intercepted or something with, like, 30 seconds to go. I think I saw the video of that. They're not eliminated, but there are teams that are undefeated, and obviously they're not, so there are a lot of teams that have the edge of them right now. Appalachian State, as you know, I put them in there last week. I just, once again, their team's more impressive than them as of right now. They'll still be there if they win out, but as of right now, there are a lot of teams that I put in here over them. What a great week for the group of five. Another where they kept a lot of their contenders that I mentioned last week undefeated. Obviously, the only 3-0 team in the country is in the group of five. And so, first team, Houston. They could be a top 25 team soon. And the group of five is going to have three top 25 teams very soon. There are a lot of teams, maybe even four, because obviously you have UCF and Boise State in there already, and then you got a team like Houston and Hawaii, which we're going to talk about next, competing for a spot in the top 25. And then you had other winners that won some Power 5 games. Would have been nice to see UCF get a Power 5 win, even if North Carolina is just terrible this year. But Hurricane Florence canceled a few games, and I wanted to notify you guys about that. Hurricane Florence, obviously, I really hope that I really hope that a lot of people don't lose their homes in that hurricane, and that they don't lose a lot of stuff. I just really hope it's not destructive, and just everyone down there in North Carolina, Virginia, and South Carolina, I think. Yeah, just stay safe and never take any risks. You please evacuate for your own safety. But the hurricane canceled a few games. They canceled, and one game I was kind of excited to see because it was another one of those non-conference Power 5 versus Power 5 games I like. NC State versus West Virginia would have been a very fun game to see, especially since it was at NC State, which means NC State could have contended in that game. Obviously, the UCF game got canceled, as a lot of us know. The Virginia Tech game got canceled. That was a chance for Virginia Tech to become 3-0 against East Carolina, who, even though they're 1-1, I couldn't include them in this section because they did crush North Carolina. It's a Power 5 win. Any Power 5 win is a Power 5 win for a group of five teams, but they've already lost the game. I don't know who they lost to, so they just can't be considered as of right now. None of the teams in my group of five watch have a loss so far, so yeah, as the team gets later, there will be more teams that start to lose, and you'll be able to get in there, but as of right now, I can't include East Carolina. I just can't, you know? So some of the notable games canceled. South Carolina and Marshall, I think, got canceled today. I'm just now seeing it on this Twitter feed, I think. They're not canceling the Clemson game. So that's interesting. I think they're hoping that Storm just dodges Clemson, the Clemson area of South Carolina. So hopefully that game goes on. But yeah, just everyone stay safe, and sorry to all of the teams, all of you guys who didn't get a chance to go out on the field this Saturday, but everyone has to stay safe right now, and honestly, that's the biggest concern right now. So, going back to the Group of Five watch, Hawaii, Colt McDonald. I don't like to do Heisman sections just because I'm not that into talking about the Heisman. It's kind of a meaningless award to me. Well, it's meaningful, but it's just not a meaningful award to the landscape of college football. Colt McDonald, I think there was a Hawaii quarterback who contended for the Heisman like 10 years ago. He led them. What was his name? Brett something? Brett McCole? No. Oh, God. Oh, I don't know what his... I don't know what his name was. But in 2008, I think they got destroyed by Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. But I think that quarterback of theirs did a Heisman campaign. I don't know if he won it. He might have won it. I don't know. But Hawaii, very successful so far. 3-0. They haven't played great teams. Colt McDonald, I just want to bring up his stats here because it is absolutely insane to see this. To see how Colt McDonald has actually been probably the most efficient quarterback in all of college football. He's thrown... Oh, here it is. So, 1,165 yards, 13 touchdowns, and no interceptions so far. If he keeps at this pace, he'll throw for at least 5,000 yards this season. Absolutely crazy, guys. Now, he isn't playing the top competition, but if you're Hawaii, if you go undefeated, you're undefeated, you know? And no one can deny that success. So, yeah. Hawaii, obviously up there. UCF and Boise State, we don't really have to say much. They're obvious contenders. Cincinnati, I mentioned them last week because they beat UCLA. I don't know if that UCLA team is turning out to be anything at all at this point, but they won a Power 5 game. As I keep saying, a Power 5 win is a Power 5 win. So they won that, and then they became 2-0 this week by dominating some cupcake, but who knows? That's a team that could stay undefeated for a while, could end up starting off 7-0 or 8-0. And then they could start getting attention. Cincinnati, they have talent. But that's one of the more talented Group of Five teams every year. And that's the AAC is turning out to be very strong conference this year. Whoever wins that conference, no doubt should be one of the top contenders for that New Year's Six game. And there are right now so many contenders. Mountain West and AAC have a lot of contenders right now for a New Year's Six spot. And then our final one. This one was kind of fun to see because I love seeing this team succeed pretty much every year now, even though they've had a lot of coaching changes the last few years. South Florida, the Bulls, this week they had their only game of the year that they get to play in Raymond James Stadium where the Bucks play. They played a great game there against Florida State 2 years ago, I remember. That was the last time I remember seeing them. But they beat Georgia Tech, who is one of the lower tier, I guess you could say, ACC teams. But they're at the middle of the barrel there, and they're a team that will be a trap game for other ACC teams this year. It's impressive because they just flat out outscored them. Charlie Strong is, you got to give him credit. He might, Willie Taggart might have assembled that team, but Blake Barnett, who's replaced Quentin Flowers, one of the best quarterbacks college football has seen in a long time, the obviously graduated last year. That was fun to see him succeed at South Florida so much. And now Blake Barnett, the Alabama transfer, then the Arizona State transfer, is being playing very well for them. Good for them, great for the Group of Five. So yeah, that about does it for the Group of Five watch. Hopefully this week we'll see a lot of teams improve to 3-0 and Hawaii improve to 4-0. So we can just keep seeing a lot of undefeated Group of Five teams. And yeah, so let's get into the my next section, our second to last section. Now we are going to start talking about this week's games. We've kind of reviewed everything that happened last week and all of the things that the headlines of last week have created. But now we get to talk about this week's slate of games a little bit more. What's going on this week? And every week it's interesting to see because I thought it would be more exciting if I didn't really study the schedule too much this year so that every week I could just be like, I wonder what the good games are this week and I could be just surprised to see some stuff. And I just love looking at the slate once it starts to get towards the end of the week and I'm starting to get excited for Saturday again. I love to see it. And this week is a really good slate. I think it might even be, yeah, it might have even been better than week one. So a lot of great games this week. But we're going to do our against the spread section before we get into the pick-ems, which will finish off this show. So we're getting near the end of the show. But so I have this week, for some reason, it was a little bit easier to pick against the spread. There's just a lot of teams that I think could do it. And my first team, Syracuse against Florida State. Florida State, this is actually a Syracuse home game, and somehow Syracuse is the 3-point underdog. No, FSU is not very good this year at all. In fact, they might end up not even making a bowl game this year. They could be terrible. I think Syracuse wins this game. They're 2-0. They're going to become 3-0. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a Syracuse win right there. 10 a.m. morning game. Syracuse, New York, Carrier Dome. That's kind of a fun, underrated place where there have been some upsets that happened there the last few years. Fun to see Syracuse kind of emerging as a better than usual ACC team the last 2 years. So, my next game. This is a very bad game, but it still is another chance for me to pick an underdog outright. Rutgers at Kansas. I know Kansas, shout out to them actually. They ended their 9-year road game losing streak. I think they lost 46 road games in a row, and they ended up crushing Central Michigan. I was really surprised to see that stat. I had no idea that they had lost that many road games in a row until I heard the news that they finally broke that streak Saturday night. And I still think Rutgers is definitely the better team. Definitely. And somehow they're the 2.5-point underdog. So I'm taking this another chance to pick an underdog outright. So yeah, Rutgers wins that game, and I think they win it by at least 2 touchdowns. So my final game, I wanted to mention Boise State, but I thought that might be a little too obvious. Georgia Southern, this is my interesting one. Obviously, last week, you guys should give me some credit because I said UNM would cover against Wisconsin, 35 points. Now, they did end up only covering by 4 points. They did end up losing by 4 points less than they were supposed to. But they were winning 7-3 early. And then they were only losing 7-10 at halftime. Wisconsin really took a long time to pull away. In fact, it was a 3-point game in the third quarter, but Wisconsin ended up getting a lot of touchdowns in the second half. Jonathan Taylor ended up having a 250-yard game. So that was unfortunate. I was hoping that I could be even more accurate about that. But I still think that this week's game should be Georgia Southern. Now, they're at Clemson. I know what you guys are going to say. Clemson's a really good team, but I think this could be a bit of a hangover game for Clemson. I don't know if they'll come fully prepared. I think they're still a little bit shaken up after last week's crazy game. I think Georgia Southern can get some touchdowns on them early, and I think Georgia Southern could definitely cover the 33-point as the 33-point underdog. I think they could easily lose that game by 24 points. So, yeah, Georgia Southern covers, and also to mention, they're 2-0, and that's a morning game. It's not an afternoon game for Clemson. That's another thing to watch out for. I'm not saying Georgia Southern has any chance of winning that game. I do say that they cover, and that is kind of my more hot take of the week. So, final thing for this week, we're going to finish it off in style with our pick'em. I love the pick'em. I'm really excited. Obviously, I've been mentioning great slate of games this week. A lot of ranked matchups and a lot of games that should be ranked matchups, to say the least. So, our first game, we're going to sort of go from morning to night. Excuse me. Okay, so first game in the morning, 10 a.m., Oklahoma at Iowa State. I think Iowa State, the reason this could be a decent game is that it's at Iowa State. Obviously, they've only gone to play one game because their first game got canceled. They lost 13-3 at Iowa, not too disappointing there. You lose by 10 points to a team that's really... an Iowa team that's really good at home, as we know, kind of a little underrated at home. But this week, I think that Oklahoma wins this game. It'll be interesting to see how they can do on the road. They've played two great games at home. I think this will be Kyler Murray's first road game as a Sooner. Well, at least starting as the starting quarterback. And I think they get it done here by 2 touchdowns. I think they win by 14, maybe. It'll be a high-scoring game, but I think they win, like, maybe 42-24 or something. But that's interesting because I don't know if Iowa State will be as good as they were last year, but should be interesting. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I'm suddenly coughing. I'm not sick or anything. Vanderbilt at Notre Dame next game. I think that this could be a little bit closer than people think. Vandy is 2-0. So that's something to look out for. I think Notre Dame is not going to crush teams at home this year, unless they're really hyped up. And I don't think that Vanderbilt will be very motivated. I don't think they'll be determined to go out there and crush them. So I think Vanderbilt can keep this one close, but I think ultimately Notre Dame takes this game by about 10, and I think they win a kind of more gutsy game, like 24-14 or something. Maybe Vanderbilt could make it even closer. That's exciting. You never know. And maybe our game of the week, I know it's not game day somehow, but this is the game of the week in my opinion, LSU at Auburn. This is our first, like, really big SEC afternoon game. It's going to be really interesting to see both of these teams. This, even though Auburn's already put, both of these teams have played big games. LSU had to play Miami and Auburn had to play Washington. But Auburn, huge advantage at home here. I don't think LSU will be able to win on the road against that good of a team. I think they'll win games at home, but I think Auburn will take this game. It'll be a kind of boring, sluggish game. But I think Auburn takes this game a touchdown or less. Probably something kind of like 17-14 or 17-10, maybe even 21-17. Something like that. Just a pretty close game. Neither team will play bad, but both teams will be impressive, and it's another big game for both of them. Tough schedule early in the year, but Auburn takes this one by a touchdown or less. Boise State versus Oklahoma State. I think this could be our shootout of the week, where both of the teams will just score a ton of points. Oklahoma State has been in these games a lot the last few years. It'll be interesting to see if they're for real or not, since they are in the top 25. But Boise State has been very impressive. They've won by a ton the last two games. And they've been really impressive to me, but Oklahoma State hasn't done anything wrong either. And they're in the top 25. So I think that Boise State wins this game on the road. Boise State will win it. It'll be close. It could be 7-10 points, but it'll be something like 49-42 or something. It's going to be interesting because both teams will score a lot of points. It won't be a blowout, but I see one team winning by like 10 points or something. And I'm pretty confident that it'll be Boise State. All right, next game. This is like a 5 p.m. game. It's really kind of more exciting to see. I also love seeing the nighttime SEC games on ESPN, especially since Ole Miss gets to play Alabama at home. I'm not saying that Ole Miss will win this game, but I mentioned it, I think, in our first episode. I think I mentioned this game and that Ole Miss will play well. Obviously, I can't bring them up without mentioning what happened last week. I can't believe that defense gave up 41 points to an FCS team and still won by 35. Unbelievable. That game, more than 100 points were scored. Crazy. Wow. But I still think Ole Miss is a good team. I think that's probably a game Alabama wins on the road. It could be closer than a lot of people think. It could end up being kind of similar to the Texas A&M game. I don't think it has a chance to be that close, but I think that it could be like a 14-point win for Alabama. Ole Miss will score points early, but Alabama will just... They'll score one or two more touchdowns more than Ole Miss, which is why they'll win that game on the road. I guess you could call it a test. I think you could say that it's a test. All right, so this is the game day game, and this is like the, this is another game that's gonna be on a big stage. Jerry's World, obviously they welcomed Miami and LSU, and they played a pretty entertaining game week one. This week, Ohio State and TCU. Ohio State, last game before Urban Meyer is back, and it'll be really interesting to see how they do in this one. TCU, I'm not too high on them, to be honest. I still don't quite think that they're outstanding. I do think they're a top 25 team, but I don't think they can beat Ohio State. Ohio State will win this game by like 13 points. I definitely pick them to win this one in what should be basically a TCU home game. And actually, I think it's kind of being considered a home game because College Game Day is doing game day on the TCU campus, which I was a little surprised to see. But Ohio State wins this game. It could be a test for them. I think TCU will come out pumped up in that game, and I think they will play with some firepower. But Ohio State, definitely the better team there. So, our two nighttime games. We've got two interesting games to watch later in the night. So this one will start. No, this one is a Fox game. The Fox games are fun to see at late night. Sometimes they're Big Ten, sometimes they're Pac-12, sometimes they're Big 12, but they're always interesting to see. This week's game is USC at Texas. Obviously, they played an incredible game last year that a lot of people said was almost as good as the 2005 Rose Bowl. I don't think the game will be quite as good, but I think Texas will win here. I'm not too high on USC, especially after what I saw last week, but I don't think they win this one. I think Texas wins this one. I think they win kind of a gutsy game. It could come down to the last drive. But I think Texas wins this game, and they get back into the top 25. They kind of redeem themselves a little bit here. They prove themselves to not be a bust. And I think they win this one. It'll be fun to see them win a game in their home stadium, and maybe this is the game where they prove that they might actually be good this year. They might actually have an 8 or 9 win season this year. They're back, I guess you could say. Yeah. So Texas, that should be interesting. And then our final game of the week. This is what a lot of people are saying, a very underrated game in the home team here could pull off an upset. This is Washington at Utah. Utah, a lot of people were upset to see that they didn't make the top 25 poll this week. And a lot of people think that if they can play a good game this week, they will get in. They've done nothing wrong, I guess, to this point. And it's a home game. We saw last time Washington went to Utah, that was kind of later in the season when they played 2 years ago in Utah. But we saw that was a close game to the end. I think this is a close game. I think Washington escapes very closely. It could end up being a last-second field goal or a late touchdown. But this is definitely, I think, a 4-point win for Washington. I think they win this one maybe 28-24, maybe 35-31, something like that. I could really see it happening. And Washington wins that one to stay alive for their playoff chances. But Utah proves that they are a Pac-12 contender this year. And they could have a chance to represent the Pac-12 South in the championship game. So, that concludes our pick-ems. And that actually concludes our episode. So, that was really fun to talk about this week. I think that it's going to be a really exciting Saturday. I hope that you guys think about what I said when you're watching on Saturday. Really fun. So, thank you guys. For those of you who listened throughout the show, props to you. I know that 48 minutes is a lot of time out of your day to listen to me, but thank you so much for listening, and obviously, I'll see you guys next week.